I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network, and I welcome the author and expert on intelligence gathering and operations, David Grantham. His new book is Consequences, An Intelligence Officer's War. This is a memoir of the time in Kabul, in Baghdad, in Kuwait City, when the United States was at risk from what we now understand to be a worldwide jihadist enterprise. However, in 2006, when David went to theater, both Afghanistan and Iraq, it was not at all clear what the larger story was. We have an understanding today that the story not only includes the jihadists of the Middle East and Central Asia, but the gangs called cartels in America, in South America, in Europe, all of these networks working together. And David's experience in Afghanistan and Iraq, the memoir, prepares me to understand what I'm witnessing in the third decade of the 21st century. The outlaws have become extremely clever and very well engaged with each other. David, congratulations and good evening. I begin in your deployment to a five-star hotel in Kuwait City. I mention that because it's a surprise to you as well. You arrive one night in Kuwait. You look around at the landscape. This is after the fighting in Iraq, but the Afghanistan war is going on in 2006. You are with the Air Force. What is your status with the Air Force, and what is your first experience looking at the, I believe it's the Crown Plaza five-star hotel in Kuwait City? Good evening to you, David.
John, thank you for having me. Yeah, I was a young officer who had just been sent to the Middle East on my first deployment with the Office of Special Investigations, which is really the FBI slash CIA for the Air Force. And my first assignment was to Kuwait and to a five-star hotel of all places. So my first taste of deployment was unlike most people who deploy to the Middle East with the military. And it was an interesting environment, to say the least. It's not what I was expecting. It's not what you pack for. But there was an interesting development with Air Force assets, which the logistic lines that were going into Iraq at that time, many of them originated in Kuwait. Many officers and enlisted Army, Air Force would start in Kuwait and then go into theater, go into Iraq. A lot of those assets had to be protected. And as a counterintelligence agent with the Air Force, that was our job. It was protect, collect intelligence to protect those assets and the people. Well, the lodging is a very delicate situation in Kuwait. It's not easy to find. And therefore, many ended up being put up in these hotels. Standards require certain living conditions, and Kuwait really could only offer these magnificent hotels. And OSI agents like myself, we simply followed them to protect them with intelligence services. And so my first deployment was in the Crown Plaza in Kuwait, a magnificent hotel with magnificent restaurants and magnificent living conditions.
You were there enough time to understand that there was a war going on north of you in Iraq, a war against counterinsurgency, a counterinsurgency war, because at the time we did not know, but we do now, that Al-Qaeda was operating in Iraq and transforming itself into what would eventually become ISIS. You were in Kuwait City, however, and my surprise in your telling the book Consequences, as all decisions have consequences, is that your first deployment is not to Iraq, but it's to Afghanistan. And a fellow officer was a casualty of an IED, I believe, and you were immediately asked to go to Afghanistan. What was your mission there, David? How did it differ from what you understand your mission was in Kuwait City and Iraq?
Going to Afghanistan was you're going into theater versus being in a support role outside of the theater of war. And in Kuwait, the intelligence collection tends to be more political. It tends to be more broad. You're intending to understand what other adversaries are looking to collect on you, what information they're looking to use. When you get into theater, it becomes a bit more tactical and much more tangible in that you're collecting information to protect assets on the ground. So you would be gathering information in order to protect servicemen and women that were leaving the base to go execute operations. You would collect information on high-level terrorists, right, and insurgents, and supply that information. So that was, when we get to Afghanistan, Afghanistan is really, you're getting to brass tacks, if you will. You're on the ground collecting information from sources, and we would leave the base all the time to do this, and then supply that information to either protect the base or supply it to the action arm, if you will, of military forces, which could be special forces, Navy SEALs, all the way to the Rangers and whatnot, in order to go find these people and capture or kill them.
You arrive at Bagram Air Base. Let's plunge you into this. You've been at a 5-star hotel, and Bagram Air Base, they give you a mattress that somebody's been sick with. They put you in a part of the deployment that you have no reason to believe you have security whatsoever. They're almost indifferent to your fate. So I would say, David, you have now experienced the 21st century plunging into the about 16th century. And at Bagram Air Base, the way you describe it, David, it felt like a smaller version of Da Nang Air Base during the Vietnam War, an American city with franchises everywhere and lots of traffic. And no particular order of things. You have to make way for yourself. Is that what your early weeks there? Did it feel as if you'd been dropped into a puzzle and you had to solve it?
Yes, and the unique thing with Office of Special Investigations with Air Force OSI is we don't deploy in groups. We leave one by one. So traditional military, you will deploy with a unit or with a section. We deploy one by one. So what that means is you're on a plane by yourself with a bunch of other people you may not know. You're put in places that you've never been, and you're expected to adapt, whether there's one other agent there or whether there's an office of 15 agents. And that's what the Afghanistan situation was. I was asked to go backfill due to the death of one of our agents, and I was flown there from Kuwait. And it went from the 5-star hotel to mountain ranges, snow-capped mountain ranges, a land that's been in war for decades, and living conditions that were obviously nowhere near the hotel. As you mentioned, the mattress I had the pleasure of resting on someone had vomited on that mattress not too long ago, but the supplies were short, so they flipped the mattress. But I was thrilled because I wanted to be there. I wanted to use what training I had in the war zone. So regardless of the circumstances, I enjoyed it immensely and was excited to be there.
You don't wear a uniform in Iraq. Do you wear a uniform when you're at Bagram Air Base, or are you always in civilian clothes, David?
OSI, we're always in civilian clothes unless we're deployed to a specific operation where uniforms are required. That could be a headquarters position or something of that nature. In Afghanistan, we were in civilian clothes. We have beards, and it's not, and some people confuse this, it's not an attempt to blend into the civilian population or anything like that. It's just more intended to keep a light cover, to keep a very shallow cover, because there are a lot of contractors that come to the base. There are a lot of civilians that are working on the base and all number of support capacity. So you're attempting just to make yourself less interesting looking, if you will. So we don't, and also there's a functional reason where OSI, we don't want to have rank. We don't want to intimidate anyone or make them feel they have power over us just based on what they observe with rank. So it's intended to blend in, but there's also a functional nature behind not having any rank displayed.
This is 2006. Here we are 15 years later. You read the news, David. You're a senior fellow at the Secure Free Society. You're extremely well informed about the threat to the United States around the world. Does it surprise you to hear that the first the Trump administration and now the Biden administration apparently are looking to leave Iraq with to pull our military out of Iraq and to turn it over to the Kabul government and whatever remains of the Taliban. Does that surprise you these many years later, given that you risked everything whenever you left Bagram Air Base?
It's a little surprising. I wouldn't say it's too surprising. I think the time and effort that's been spent there, whether it's been spent wisely or unwisely over the last two decades, I do think the return on investment is proving less and less. And it's hard to continually justify staying with the new threats that are emerging, the network style threats versus country based threats. So it's not surprising. And it is disappointing, but not necessarily disappointing in the pulling out so much as the execution leading up to that. I think we've come to a point where decisions have to be made as to whether it still is a functional operation. So it's either get out or reinvest. And I don't think there's the political will or capital to reinvest.
David Grantham, the new book is Consequences, an Intelligence Officer's War. Bagram is not enough for David. We're headed to Iraq. I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network.